who could be?
Everybody has said DiBiase, the million-dollar man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you WrestleTalk Radio.
Politically incorrect? And damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede 50 the Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chris Yanni, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the Indie
King. It's still real to me, damn it.
With your host, Jim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Fug.
You got a kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
Hold the raven, eat my shorts.
Will. There you go, Kenny Omega.
I am the smartest man alive!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself, as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to the post-Super Bowl edition of WrestleTalk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, just getting over the glow of the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Woo! And joining me tonight, Bug.
It was the greatest Super Bowl ever. Ever! You know why? You know why it was the greatest Super Bowl ever? Because I get to see Steeler fans cry. Cry for me, Pittsburgh. Cry for me. Your tears give me joy. Whine to me about how you got robbed. Fuck it, Pittsburgh. Fuck it.
We also have Mace.
Try to
follow that. Try to follow that.
I can't. I was going to say something about the commercials. The fuck it, Spunk wins best intro ever.
Oh, boy. And, of course, Tim Stein. This is deathly quiet.
You can't follow it up either.
No.
I think Father Time had just expired.
It helps when your microphone isn't muted.
Amateur. Starting to get worried about you, Tim. I was going to send over 911.
No, I pulled a Spug and forgot to unmute the microphone. Shit happens. Anyway, yeah, it was a good game. It was a very entertaining game, and I have to admit that I was pleasantly surprised at the level of entertainment that this year's Super Bowl provided. Sure, we've had great entertaining games in the recent past, but historically speaking, they have more often than not been somewhat boring contests. This one tonight, it wasn't. It had a little bit of almost everything. Almost everything.
70% of the Super Bowls have been decided by 7 points or less, my friend.
Well, I'm sorry, but the boring ones just seem to stick in my brain.
You know what? I'm not even going to try to argue with you because you are all pro-Canadian, and so you think that mutant form of football that they play up there is...
All right, you know what? I have made the pledge not to pick on you, so you hush up and don't talk to me about Canadian football.
I will. You have 12 men in a 110-yard field. Dude, multi-billion-dollar industry. Which one's better?
Which one has an audience of almost 300 million compared to an audience of like 15 million? Where do you think the fucking money's going to be? I mean, that's bad. That's comparing apples and grapefruits. You don't do it. It doesn't work.
You want to talk about how great the CFL is, dude? I'm going to show you the NFL.
Here's the thing. I have never, ever said any negative stuff about NFL football, except that some of the games,
really?
Sometimes get really boring, and that is true. How many teams are in the NFL?
32.
Okay, so how many can you expect to actually have a hope of reaching the playoffs in any given season?
12.
Okay, you've got 32 teams. We've got, like, what, 8? So there's a big difference right there. Every single game played in the CFL immediately has a bigger impact on every team, not just those top 12. But anyway, we're not talking about that right now. We're not comparing left to right and top to bottom and apples to grapefruit.
NFL is better. Just plain and simple fact.
Blah, 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 blah. Listen, the CFL happens to be a very entertaining game, and that's all that matters. Anyway, it was a very entertaining game tonight. I have to admit that I was pulling for the Steelers. I'm not going to cry. I'm not dyed-in-the-wool Steelers fan. I don't live and die by one, one NFL team. I don't follow one. The fact that I also happen to like the Green Bay Packers kind of sort of assuages the loss that the Steelers suffered.
Don't get to double dip.
Well, yeah, I do. Because I'm from another country and I'm a casual NFL fan. Yeah, no.
You don't get to double dip.
I do get to.
You pick one or the other. That's the way it works. You don't get to double dip.
Only if I'm betting, which I didn't do on this game.
Cry for me and your Steelers. Let me taste your tears.
Yeah, you keep dreaming. Anyway, Mace, as another non-American, what do you think about this American football game?
I liked it. As soon as the score started getting really close before the half?
Before the end of the fourth. It was 21-3 at the end of the first half.
No, it wasn't. It was 21-10. The Steelers scored right before halftime.
No, it was 21-3 before the first half. They scored all their points in the second half, I think.
You're thinking quarter, aren't you, as opposed to half?
No, because it was 21-3. Wait, hold on.
All I know is I like the scores were getting close, people were getting excited. That's the best thing about sports.
No, they did. They did score with about 7 minutes left in the second quarter. That's right, because they had they forced that 3-and-out by Green Bay. It was a terrible, absolutely terrible fucking face mask call.
Which apparently is now on your chest.
Yeah, there was some real bad calls against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But the incomplete pass, I call bullshit on that.
The incomplete pass, if he had held on to the ball when he was going down, when he kicked it up with his foot, if he'd have been able to grab it, that would have been ruled complete. And I thought at first that it was a completed pass and then a fumble and then a recovery by Green Bay. But by NFL rule, he did not maintain possession through the catch. So, therefore, it was an incomplete pass. And after watching it and remembering the rule, that was a good call. But some of the other calls, the face mask clearly grabbed onto the guy's shirt. That was a bullshit call. The one of the holding calls that they got him on was fucking retarded. But why am I bitching? The Packers won and the Steelers are crying. It makes me happy.
Do you want to say anything to Tony O in the chat room, who is, as a Minnesota Viking fan, vehemently opposed to tonight's victory?
Suck it, Tony O! Suck it! You went out and got a washed-up Brett Favre. You remember the conversation we had at the beginning of the year? Antonio about the about how the Minnesota Vikings were going to run roughshod over the NFC North and they were going to win the Super Bowl and Brett Favre was going to go out on a white stallion and all that. You remember that bullshit? Suck it.
Omega, what do you think of the game today?
I have to follow that?
Yeah, good luck.
No, it was an awesome game. It was scary because I'm not a football fan. I'll watch the Super Bowl mostly for the commercials. I am the kind that will tune out during the gameplay and then tune back in when the commercials start up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's a good game when I'm starting to do the exact opposite. And
yeah.
I catch myself and go, oh, fuck, this isn't right.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
hey, Omega, how hard did you mark out for the Volkswagen commercial with Vader?
That was funny.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Of course, up in Canada, we don't get any of these great American commercials that people pay millions and millions of dollars for. Well,
you didn't get the Volkswagen commercial? Oh, my God, Tim.
Look,
go to
look.
YouTube.
This is where Tim should have, like I did, and have a separate stream of the Super Bowl running just so you could watch the commercials.
Oh, well, I will never admit to watching an illegal stream, guys.
Who said mine was illegal?
Well, there you go.
The NFL puts up a stream on their website that you can get for like $3.95 or something, dude.
Yep.
So, I mean, but I tell you what, the Volkswagen commercial with Darth Vader, probably my favorite commercial of the year.
Yeah,
that was
a pretty
great.
Good commercial. I'll just say I didn't miss the commercials. That's all I'm going to say.
Mind you, how bad does Ozzy Osbourne's career have to be if he's in a commercial with Justin Bieber?
Oh, God. Oh, geez. I got a clip from Rock about Justin Bieber and Ozzy Osbourne. It was actually Ozzy Osbourne concerning Justin Bieber. Rock, if you've got that clip available, can you please play it?
Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?
Thank you.
By the way, how bad does our award show have to be when we have somebody singing a Justin Bieber song? For real. And by the way, Omega, don't think I didn't hear your little blast about Lita and the Browns. Mister. At least, I will say this, at least my baseball team has seen a World Series in 112 years.
Ooh.
This will be the one time I ever defend anything Justin Bieber related. At least that song sounded better than the bullshit that the Black Eyed Peas and Usher put on tonight.
Oh my God, what the hell were they thinking?
Oh.
They had boxes on their heads.
It was
that halftime show was horrible. That was horrible.
My question, who posted in the game time chat that we had going on something about when Gold Dust questions the halftime show?
Me.
You know you got it wrong. You did it. What was your exact quote? Because that was priceless.
When Goldust asks what up, you know you fucked up.
Dude,
I thought The Who last year was bad, and it's not because I don't like The Who, it's because Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend are way past their prime. And even as a Who fan, Tim, you have to admit that last year's halftime show was bad.
Well, I don't care what anybody says, last year's halftime show was not The Who. They've got two members that are dead. The Who died with them.
But it was bad. I mean, last year's halftime show was bad. So
at least it wasn't Paul McCartney. That's all I can say.
It was
watchable. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, when you had Tom Petty there in Arizona, that was a really good halftime show.
Omega, what was it that you said about the halftime show? Something about the hearts on the field.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. You know what I think of when I think hard-hitting football and intense Super Bowls? Glowing hearts.
Yeah, that glowing was bad.
The word out with the stage. Yeah.
I'm wondering who the hell they're going to get for next year.
Who the hell could
be? Can we go back? Super Bowls were so much better when we were flashing tips.
You're running out of... You're going to pull Gloria Estefan out of retirement?
Hey,
they could always do like GoDaddy and bring Joan Collins out.
Joan Rivers.
Whatever. It could be worse, guys. They could contract the Guess Who.
Guess Who.
I would be perfectly happy if they could get Metallica to do it.
Of course you'd be happy.
No. Compared to this year's, I'd be happier if they booked the girls from the Fanta commercials.
Fanta, don't you want a Fanta?
Well, whoa. Let me put an addendum onto that one, Omega. If it was the version of the Fanta girls from Robot Chicken.
Okay, you got a point there.
There you go. You better fucking not be Justin Bieber, Tony.
Like I said, 3 years ago, it was Tom Petty. The 07 Super Bowl, Patriots-Giants, it was Tom Petty. And then at the year after that, you had Bruce Springsteen, and then they followed it up with The Who.
Bruce Springsteen was good.
Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty both were really good halftime shows. Then you had The Who and the Black Eyed Peas. Fucking horrible.
Not too impressive at all. So anyway, there's the Super Bowl 45
in
the bunch. The Packers from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Or Mace, can you do what Mr. Anderson does when he says the city and the state?
And your Super Bowl 45 champions from Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packers.
Wait for it.
Anderson's got to be happy. He's got to be rolling around in a big vat of nacho cheese right now.
Yeah, Mace was talking about too bad he can't redo a promo for the Impact taping.
I do love that Green Bay treats Favre like a god, and he blows it for 10 years straight. They put a rookie in there, and he gets them back to Super Bowl in 2.
That's not entirely true.
He won a Super Bowl, Abba. I know. Green Bay got to a Super Bowl a couple times, but
they won one. Aaron Rodgers wasn't a rookie. He sat on the bench for 3 years before starting.
I know. That's what makes it funnier to me. You know, if they put him in 3 years ago, maybe they already would have won one.
I wouldn't go that far. I think those 3 years... You know what? This isn't a sports talk show. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. You will get 2 hours of NFL analysis that will just bore the shit out of everyone but me.
And I'll simplify and say I'm glad they did it without Favre. How about that?
I'm glad they did it without Favre, too.
Right. Favre.
Favre.
I'm glad they did it without Favre, too. I tell you what made me happier, not only the Steelers losing, but we went to B-Dubs down the road from our house to go watch a Super Bowl, and we're chilling out, and there's this group of just absolutely annoying Steeler fans sitting down the table from us. And about the middle of the fourth quarter, I walked up, because we'd been exchanging back and forth, and it was fairly pleasant for the most part. But the guy's wearing a Roethlisberger jersey. He's got this, like, really crappy kind of woven cowboy hat on that's painted black with a Steeler helmet. It's painted up like a Steeler helmet with the Roethlisberger's number on the back. And I walked up to him and patted him on the shoulder and I said, so, can you answer me this? I get being a Steeler fan. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a fan of a front runner? Seriously. But why do you wear the jersey of a rapist? And he had absolutely no defense.
You know, the
his only argument was it was never proven. She followed him to the bathroom. And I went, there's three accusations that are on the books.
He can't even claim that them as fighting words because of the situation.
Right. It was great. It was absolutely great. And apparently, because the majority of us on this network are sports fans or one in one form or another, whether it's hockey, Canadian football, you know, the Phillies, the Cubs, or Gridiron, as Mace calls it. You know, we're all sports fans. And this guy had the audacity to call me an idiot because I wasn't born in the 60s, but I went back and read about them and watched the film, so I was a more knowledgeable fan. But that makes me stupid. Because I don't live in the present and know every present day fact, which I do about my team, but because I went back and researched my team to know everything about them, that makes me stupid.
Well, that's just stupid on his part. You know, I love my the teams that I live and die with. I love them so much, I read about anything I can find concerning them. I got no problem saying that, and as a matter of fact, I'm proud to.
So,
just makes me all that much better at the trivia games that the official websites host, you know.
Oh, it just makes me so happy that the Steelers lost.
So, anyway, so there it is, Super Bowl 45. Have we finished talking about this, and shall we move on?
Can we talk about wrestling now?
I was just wondering.
I'd like to talk about wrestling. We can keep talking football. I don't care.
Well, you know what? Maybe we could find somebody on the network to create a show called, I don't know, Across the Field and talk about football and baseball.
Fuck that. I'm done.
How about the S? Never mind. Find somebody whose nickname is Sandman and do a show with him, Spug.
Yeah, you know, because he hadn't fucked me twice on a show.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, technically three times, but never mind about the third time.
That was horrible.
There you go. So yeah, let's turn to professional wrestling talk, seeing as this is supposed to be a professional wrestling show. Let's start off with the promo that we saw last Monday night, 2/21/11. What's your first thought when you saw the video, Mace?
I was thinking either Sting, Undertaker, or completely new character.
Okay, Omega?
But mind you, that was the second time I saw the promo, because I missed the first one, because I'm watching Raw with Rock, and it's basically, oh, it's a commercial, or whatever.
Oh, okay. Omega?
Actually, Sting didn't even enter my mindset until someone had mentioned it to me, and I completely forgot there was a rumor that he had signed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for a Sting, that doesn't feel right. Like, if we were still dealing with Walker, Texas Taker, then the promo kind of fits him a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm not sure which direction to think, but I'm more inclined to think Undertaker, just because that's the usual MO for his return.
Okay, Spud.
Well, originally I thought Taker, and you could ask Rock, because I saw the promo on Raw and was on the computer when I was watching Raw on the TV. And, you know, Rock and I had this conversation, I said Taker. But then Impact happened.
Yep.
And they named the new They. And there was one name curiously not on that list.
Yeah.
Sting.
Uh-huh.
And earlier in the week on OWW Radio, we heard a promo played for Raw in Fresno, California, for the 21st of February, in which they talk about the return of The Undertaker.
Yep.
Now, I went out on a limb and said it, and I'll stick by it. It's both. Both are going to be there that night.
Okay.
Sting was the promo, but Undertaker will be there too.
Okay. Now, when I first saw it, I was adamantly positive that it was Undertaker. Sting never even entered my mind until I started seeing all of this stuff start popping up on Facebook and all over the internet and on the internet dirt sheets, as some of the wrestlers like to call them. But they started speculating Sting. So I'm paying attention throughout the past week. They drastically rewrote Impact. They drastically revised the who they might wind up being and all this other stuff. And one thing I noticed is everybody seems to be hyper denying the fact that it could be Sting. I'm kind of sort of with you, Spug. Yeah, it's going to be Undertaker. They kind of sort of let the cat out of the bag on a local commercial
promotion.
Undertaker will be there and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, okay, you're thinking Undertaker, but it was a little bit more, I don't know, sort of like Ghost Town Western type idea to me, from, you know, going from memory on that promo.
That's why it made me think it was The Undertaker, was the fact that the whole, you know, Western theme, and you saw the boots and the jacket. But somebody, my buddy Joey, who lives in Boston, pointed it out to me the other day. He says, watch that promo again. And when it gets to the part where the numbers are, you know, done out in fire, look at the one. He says the one number, I think it was number two in 21, the end of it, the curved end of it, almost looks like it's got a ball, like a scorpion tail. And I went, aren't you analyzing this a bit too much?
Don't forget the when Jericho returned, you know, the Save Us promos, we were all going absolutely nuts about all over the World Wide Web.
Omega called it first, though. He said it was Jericho.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just struck me as a Jericho thing. Though, I was hilarious on those promos, because not only did they have to stretch them out, they figured out, oh, wait, the code is a little too hard to figure out, so they had to rewrite it to be, like, stupidly obvious.
Easier.
Yeah. Well, the initial code was ridiculously and painfully easy to figure out if you had the ability to slow it down and watch it frame by frame.
The funny thing about those promos was watching everyone dissect it and figure out completely different people that it could be.
Yep. But I think that collectively speaking, those of us who have been doing this type of thing, who basically know each other, were all of the same consensus that it was going to be Jericho, correct?
I said no. I didn't think it was.
Oh. Now, the reason why, one of the reasons why I went to the Save Us promo, I just found out late last night something real interesting, and I'm going to throw this as a far-fetched thought on a conspiracy, on the conspiracy. Okay? Get the tinfoil hats ready. I'm not saying that I believe this at all, but it had people up in arms once before, going absolutely nuts trying to figure out who was coming to the WWE with the Save Us promo. Chris Jericho and the WWE are 90% done on a deal to see him return with a new WWE contract.
It's not Jericho.
Yeah, it's not Jericho. It's not his style.
Yeah.
Jericho's always had a very flashy style. I doubt he's going to be walking down to the ring in a fucking big-ass trench coat.
Yeah, no, the thing I'm wondering is how many people will, once it becomes, you know, really common public knowledge that Jericho's on his way and imminently about to return to WWE, how many right-wing nuts out there are actually going to start posting all of these coincidental things that could show that it winds up being Jericho?
Here, hold my phone.
Now, the one thing that really caught me...
Look, with this whole, you know, who could it be type thing, I think I said it to Rock when the overanalyzing started happening. I think we were on OWW Radio when I said this. There was somebody who tried to take the numbers and make it say Sting or something. And I said, by that stupid logic, I could say that 9/11 predicted Sting many years ago. You know, it's the thing about conspiracy theories. It's stupid.
Well, anything can almost be proven after the fact. It's predicted vaguely enough. How's that?
Pretty much. And then
the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. And then they had things popping up afterwards. Somebody posted a picture. Alan found it online or something that popped up after this promo aired, that it was Sting with a playing card that had The Undertaker on it and Streak on both sides.
Yep.
Mind you, we debunked that because I went out and I found that the pictures that they were used from, one being a Dark Knight promo photo, and I found the actual Sting picture that they used. People will create anything to support their stupid theories.
The best one is a guy who used to come on our network, Travis Zickerman, had it on his Facebook about, this is one of your matches for WrestleMania, and I commented, I said, Zick, dude, you know that's a Photoshop, right? You know, it's a fake. Yeah, but it'd just be fun to comment. I'm like, idiots out there will throw anything on the web, like Mace just said, to support themselves, to support their theory. Like, that's an entire fake. Sting never wore gloves like that, ever.
But by the same token, let me ask you something. How many of you guys noticed the, you would want to call it a slicker, I guess, or an oiler, the jacket, just the way it hung around the boots? It was more pleated than the thing that Undertaker wears.
Yeah.
I'm overanalyzing and adding to the conspiracy theory with this whole thing, okay? Now, you thought and you think about it, the reason why I got sort of like that, you know, ghost town western flavor was, correct me if I'm wrong, but did I not see something that looked like white snakeskin cowboy boots?
You're imagining things, though, black boots the entire time.
Okay,
yeah, he was black boots.
Okay, I remember white around the boots.
No, there was no white. They were black boots.
Yeah, okay. So there is that. But Undertaker Slicker is absolutely dead straight. Sting's isn't.
Were you talking about the coat?
Yeah.
Yeah, Undertaker's comes down to mid-calf.
Yep.
Undertaker doesn't come down that far.
And you know what? I could go out, spend $50 and buy the exact same style of coat. It could be bloody anybody. Which is why I'm going for the curveball. I reckon we're going to see a new character here.
We might possibly could, Mace. Nobody's saying you're wrong. Listen, half the fun of these things, and I have to give WWE kudos on this, because I said it on OWW Radio. They put the internet world and the wrestling fans in an absolute tizzy with these things. Because everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody's trying to break it down, find any little thing that WWE could have slipped up on to give us a clue. And that's why we're talking about seeing the scorpion stinger in a numeral, or the length of the trench coat, the color of the boots, the background that the vignette was shot in, the light of the refraction from a gas pool on Venus that reflected off the moon and showed whose face it was in the vignette. You know,
open the concert door, Hulk Hogan.
This is half the fun. Absolutely half the fun. And okay. So if it's a new character, great. If it's Sting, awesome.
Hey, half of the fun. No, I have to go. It's more than half the fun. It's most of the fun. Here's the thing. This is like the third time I can remember that WWE has been able to pull something off that has generated buzz like this around the internet since the internet became so. I guess you could call it prolific.
It's not just creating buzz around the internet. It has people in the wrestling industry going, who the hell is it? Which is even harder to pull off. They have TNA second-guessing everything right now.
It's Mystic.
Wait, he asked if we owned the card, didn't he? I told him yes. All right, never mind.
However, I think Tony O's got a point, though. Go, Braden Walker's returning.
There you go. Just so he can have
he's got to fill out his contract further than 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think the promo lasted longer than his career did.
Yeah, just so long, so he can have another DVD that lasts 5 minutes.
You know who my vote for? Ultimate Warrior.
Now that would
that's why it will look like a ghost town. That's parts unknown.
Yeah, there you go. And it's actually not Ultimate Warrior, but it's really Papa John.
If I had a bottle, I'd hand it to you.
He's now changed his nickname to Ultimate Meat Lovers.
You can aim for the bottle, can't you?
It might take me a couple of seconds, but I'd figure it out after I stop peeing on my hand.
Just, hold it on your clit. You can
have the conversation I think they're having in his car.
I know, listen, we have to wait for somebody to show up and bring us gas.
I know.
You ran out of gas?
I forgot to stop. I was so excited when we left B-Dubs that I didn't stop at the gas station to get gas. And so about 3/4 of the way home, I ran out.
And you're making your wife pee in her hand.
It's the most
inopportune time. Not in her hand, in a bottle. There's 3 feet of snow on the side of the road, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and it's a busy interstate. She's not squatting in the side, dude. She's going to get an icicle up her ass.
Okay, who had 10:57 p.m. Eastern for train wreck status?
No idea.
God damn. So... All right, guys, it's not Sting, it's not a new character, it's Undertaker. How disappointed are you going to be about that?
Not really.
Eh. That's the hard part about taking this out. Most Undertaker return promos make no mystery about it's the Undertaker because they know people will tune in for it. This one being so vague almost makes me think it is more likely to be either a new character or a huge return like Sting.
All right, well, let me ask you this. We've been throwing the idea around for months now that the consensus was that it was going to be Barrett Undertaker at Mania, okay? Now, I'm pretty sure WWE months ago didn't have the idea that they were going to get Sting. If Sting falls out of the sky into WWE's lap and is there for Mania and there to wrestle, is this a one-off? Is he gone after this? Or does he stick around? And do you feud him with Taker or do you feud him with somebody else?
Well, that's the big thing. At 51 years of age, the reports are Sting doesn't want to be working a full-time schedule anymore. You can't blame him for that. But at the same time, do you bring him in just for a one-off, just so you can put him in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Pure and simple. Pay him the money, give him the one-off, give him the one-off match. Put him
now
in the Hall of Fame, increase your ratings, they're all over the board.
Okay, now what is the number one reason all of these years since the death and demise of WCW that Sting has not signed a contract with Vince?
I said it on OWW that there was the rumor and the story 10 years ago when WCW died that Vince had Sting in his office to sign a contract and offered him a job in WWE, and Sting spit in his face.
Well, here's the thing. That would be another dirt sheet rumor. The fact of the matter is Steve Borden and Vince McMahon actually are friends.
Oh, that's what I said. It was a rumor. I never said it was true.
Yeah, it's a bullshit rumor. I'm not saying that you're, you know, promoting it as fact or anything. But
I wouldn't do that. Like, and I said, you didn't let me finish, because I said it on OWW also immediately following that I don't see Sting as the type of individual to ever do that to anybody.
Yeah, no, not with his Christian beliefs. And that was the main hang-up and sticking point why he never signed a contract with WWE, was because at the time WWE was still living off the remnants of the Attitude Era, and they were still fairly bloody raunchy. Let's face it, this PG thing didn't come into play until not too long before Linda announced her candidacy for for a seat in politics. Right? Now,
right.
Would it not be true to say nowadays TNA is the raunchier of the two programs?
Oh, easily.
Okay, so if you're a devout Christian and you refuse to sign with WWE because of the TNA aspect, pardon the use of the the letters, but if you refuse to sign with WWE just because of their lack of Christian values that you hold dear, you go to TNA and you watch this product that you basically helped build to this, you know, to some kind of status, I guess, slowly turn into you know, it's something that you see every night after 11 p.m. on Fox. What is that going to do to your thinking system concerning signing anything with TNA? And then Vince comes and says, hey, you know, we're PG, we're family friendly. Come and do a couple of matches and we'll put you in the Hall of Fame. How are you going
to
say no?
I think it's more along the, it could be more along the lines of, you know, after what, Sting's been in TNA for 5 years, they've barely done anything with him.
Yep.
He's basically been mistreated in his time there. If he wants to go out with a bang, then WWE seems like the place to do it. You know, follow Kevin Nash's example. If you're going to go out big, pretty much.
Yeah, well, big.
But did you all, speaking in that vein of misused thing, did you see the article, oh God, I want to say it was either posted yesterday or today. One of Ric Flair's very personal friends had done an interview where they were talking about the whole advanced, you know, fiasco on the European tour, and that he was talking about how it was money that was already owed to him anyway for the tour and back money.
Uh-huh.
And the guy in the interview basically said TNA's broke. That company is broke.
Well,
and
you know what?
It's all happened in the past year to two. So,
okay.
which leads me to believe that some of that bigger talent, Sting, you know, see the writing on the wall and are jumping ship while they can.
Okay, you know the story given to, supposedly, allegedly given to Ric Flair as to why he didn't get his advance.
They didn't have it.
Now, what was said to Ric Flair is they don't do that anymore because of Dustin Runnels and how he had used it when he was there. Rick says, Dustin Runnels. Anyway, thanks for...
Do I look like Dustin Rhodes?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for following our WTR format, not bringing that up until it's time to bring it up, but that's all good.
Not looking at the format. I'm on my phone on the side of the highway. I can't read the format.
Watching your wife pee into a bottle. I know. Yeah, we're going to take our first break of the evening, everybody. Right here, WTR Sunday night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with some more news and notes, including... What we were just, I guess, you could say we teased it like it was a TNA show. Flair being feeling disrespected. We'll be back right after this timeout.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voice over, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Wild Talk Radio. The network everyone else feels from.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and WrestleTalk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
letting you tune in
since 1996.
I don't have your work phone.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein.
You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. It's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. And he stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, and this is the NWO Sting.
What I say, welcome back to WTR Sunday night, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us for that tiny little timeout. Apparently, I guess maybe there's some kind of video or something going on. What's up?
Oh, I found a couple of interesting things during the break, one of them being Mr. Anderson's reaction to the Packers winning the Super Bowl, and I've just linked Rock to another one of Christina Aguilera botching the American national anthem. So I believe Rock has the Mr. Anderson reaction video queued up for us. So unfortunately, those of you who are going to listen to us on the archive later, tough shit. Should be in here live.
The video. And, of course, us watching it, we get to watch it on a bit of a delay because, well, that's just the way the wonderful World Wide Web works. Have you got that other video ready to go, Rock? The one where Christina Aguilera screws up the...
Well, to be honest, it's only a small screw-up, so it's probably not really worth worth actually playing the entire national anthem just to see if she botched it. Let's just laugh at us for fucking it up anyway.
It's not as bad as what Roseanne did for baseball, was it?
No, but speaking of Roseanne, my God, that commercial where she got flattened by the log. Awesome! Sure, it was a stunt person that we could, like, pick out real easy, but still, the idea of Roseanne being hit with a giant log and being knocked out.
Yeah, I won't see that commercial before Tuesday. Yeah. Unfortunately, I missed it when it was on. So,
too bad they didn't think of that 10 years ago when people remembered her.
Interesting. Anyway, if we're going to see this Christina Aguilera video, maybe we should just hold off and take a look at it a little bit later on. But let's talk about Ric Flair being owed a considerable amount of back pay. Spug brought it up, and promptly disappeared during the commercial break, I see. I'm sure he'll be back a little bit later on. Maybe he got his gas, who knows. Or his phone battery died, or something. What do you make of all of this, Mace?
I don't know. This could be the problem with signing guys like Ric Flair to a contract and just going, we don't care how much we pay you, just sign the goddamn thing and bring us some ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But that was before TNA went through the point where, oh, well, yeah, have to tighten the purse strings a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But
Omega,
you never know.
Sorry about that. Omega, do you see TNA falling into the same problem ECW fell into, where they finally just quit writing checks?
I don't know so much, but I don't know. Let's keep in mind, the report came from a very close friend of Ric Flair, which is not a source I trust. I would trust something, because the other stories going around are just as credible, if not a little bit more, about how we've had multiple reports from the locker room that Flair would come to individual wrestlers asking to borrow money or to pick up tab, or that he'd get, or they'd get stuck with a tab after Rick said, "Round's on me," and then he'd take off. I'm a little bit more inclined to believe reports like that because there are more than one, and they aren't closely related to Ric Flair, and more or less aren't so close to TNA either. It speaks more of, you know, where Ric Flair really stands when it comes to money right now.
Yeah, well, Mike Mooneyham has basically done what he could to shoot that rumor down. Do we trust Mike Mooneyham?
I don't. Not someone that close to Ric Flair.
And what about you, Mace?
I wouldn't trust anybody with the name Mooneyham. It just sounds like a liar to me.
So he'd be a good used car salesman or a lawyer?
Pretty much.
There you go. Okay. Well, moving on from that, the next one, you know, Booker T's new role in WWE as SmackDown announcer and, of course, trainer for Tough Enough. Good move, good way to utilize Booker T. What do you think?
It wasn't too bad. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to see it because I honestly had totally forgot SmackDown was on.
You forgot SmackDown was on? Stop the presses.
Usually I forget TNA's on, so this is a little different.
Wow.
But it is unfortunate that I didn't get to see it, but I mean, from what little I did hear, he didn't sound too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a little bit clearer to hear and a little less. How do I want to describe his speaking? Less bookery?
Excuse me.
And it sounded okay, but I still think he has way more personality to be stuck behind a booth.
So you figure they should maybe find a third use, or at least a different use for him?
Yeah.
Oh. Personally, I think it would be a lot better if Booker T replaced Michael Cole on SmackDown, Mace.
I'd rather replace Michael Cole with a log. But
the one that hit Roseanne?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
It was fun. It was more entertaining than Cole's ever been.
But with Booker on, like, I actually got to see SmackDown. Quite surprisingly. I didn't mind Booker T on commentary at all, especially because he's basically the Jerry Lawler on SmackDown. Like, he gives the color commentary, and he pretty much disagrees with everything Michael Cole says. And at least it's not King Booker.
Well, do you think that there might be a fortuitous chance that at some point in time we get to see King Booker pop Michael Cole in front of the cameras, like he did to Batista behind the cameras?
If that means that we get to see Booker T deliver an axe kick to Michael Cole's head, I'm all for it.
Let's do it. Okay, so, guys, take a turn to answer the question that's been posed. What would you do with Booker T?
I'd make him manager for Ezekiel Jackson.
Which means that you'd have to take Ezekiel out of the core. Can you think of anybody else on the SmackDown roster he could come out and be a manager for?
Offhand, I'd have to think about it. I mean, I suggest Ezekiel because I don't see him as much of a fit in the core anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got more experience and has held one more championship than the... There's no leaders in the core, but, you know, who the fuck has the mic every time they come out? Wade Barrett.
Yeah, well, you know, Ezekiel Jackson with his quote-unquote pedigree might actually serve to give the core a little bit more veracity, don't you think?
Maybe. Still wish he'd come out with the ECW belt just to rub it in people's faces.
There you go. What about you, Mace?
I'd put him with somebody I don't know who, but I sort of like Omega's idea of putting him with Ezekiel Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I don't know, put him with Santino and Kozlov. He can play the straight guy, you know, trying to teach them to, you know, be more serious in what they do. They're tag team champions. They need to have a bit more pride in themselves and display, you know, manners and stuff like that, and that could be funny.
Interesting. What about putting him with JTG and giving JTG the chance to actually shine under Booker's wing? Because you know that Booker T would be able to teach JTG a thing or two.
What, and turn him into, what, Harlem Heat 2011?
Well, you know, there are worse ideas.
It actually isn't a bad idea. JTG is just in his actual personality, seems very unfocused right now. Not only in career direction, but as, you know, just him, his character and his gimmick. You know, it might be a good way of turning him around if he had a manager like Booker T to show him around.
Uh-huh. It might deliver that, you know, that certain focus that gives JTG that it that as a professional wrestler you always hope that you have, don't you think?
Not a bad idea.
Then again, we're putting Booker T in the managerial role all of a sudden, and WWE doesn't like managers. Look what they did to the last manager they had in. Yeah. What's his face? Paul Bearer.
Uh-huh. There's a point. Definitely a point.
No more managers. But we can have, like, translators and interpreters and personal ring announcers.
Yeah, that's really
bringing a bit of that old-school gangster flair to ring announcing. He could take a SmackDown's ring announcer position.
Gangster flair. The ring and unk. That's exactly what we need.
Well, if they do hook him up with, if they were to hook him up with JTG, wouldn't JTG have to drop, you know, the Brooklyn gangsta guy?
Well, that's what I mean by unfocused. I mean, if they... Seriously, I mean, it worked as a tag team, you know... But no, on his own, he's doing absolutely nothing right now. The gimmick is just a stalling point right now. If he's going to go anywhere, he needs a change.
Well, they really didn't do anything or let him do anything after they split him and what's his name up. Did they?
No, they didn't.
He stuck with the crime time thing, and that's,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's stale.
WWE they have this horrible habit of breaking up tag teams way before they are done with them. As soon as they run out of ideas for a tag team, like they did with the Hart Dynasty, they split them up, turn one face, one heel, but they forget that, oh, wait, now we need two sets of ideas for these two guys, and they never have anything.
Put Booker T with William Regal, because we know that William Regal has gangster cred.
Oh, shit. Booker T and William Regal would work really good together.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not like we've ever seen it before, right?
Great job. tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Every damn. Straight up gangster tripping. Yes, boy. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster tripping. Gangster.
No kidding.
Ah, the classics.
No, but seriously, looking at it, Showtime Percy Watson, how much would that guy benefit by Booker's tutelage?
Sure, if you want to find a way to strip all the flamboyancy out of the character.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one aspect that kind of goes by the wayside here. I mean, it's difficult to have a manager when he's managing someone that overshadows him in the personality department.
Mm-hmm.
The manager, you know, one of the big reasons for having a manager is to act as a mouthpiece until the wrestler is ready to work the mic themselves. That's not something that, you know, can really be done. I mean, JTG is fine on the mic. Percy Watson, green, but he's not bad.
Booker T with the great Kali.
Yeah, there's the mic skills for a manager.
That would be interesting. Well, you know, one thing you have to admit, Booker T does have the mic skills.
Oh, yeah.
So if he winds up getting used as a mouthpiece for anybody, you know that he will definitely excel, at least in that role.
I mean, that's why they stuck him into the announcing booth for now. I mean, that's pretty much how they stalled out CM Punk.
Yeah.
Keep him on TV, keep people knowing who he is, and run with it.
And, you know, until he's healed enough to go and attack John Cena, absolutely. So,
yeah. It might just be stalling until they have a good idea for Booker.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, all we can do is just keep watching SmackDown, Omega, to see how things develop.
If I remember, it's on.
I'll remind you. Hey, by the way, Omega, watch SmackDown.
You're such a big help. Thank you, Tim.
I try. There you go. Have you heard Matt Hardy on the latest TNA Impact ratings on his Twitter account?
Follow Matt Hardy on Twitter. God. What did he say?
Well, on Fat Hardy's Twitter account, and I quote, "The Hulkster and Jeff brought me in, and the ratings keep growing. Coincidence? I think not. Facts! Dixie, you can thank me and Jeff for the ratings jump. Just saying."
Listen to where his ego was as big as his gut now.
There hasn't been a single thing that guy has said over the last few weeks where I haven't want to slap him upside the head.
Yeah. Pretty much. But him taking credit for TNA getting, maybe 0.3 of a point boost in the ratings? A little far-fetched, don't you think?
Yeah. Slightly, yeah.
Or, okay, not even 3 points. It was 1 point, from a 1.2 to a 1.3. But then again, look, that was the overall rating. Look at the quarter breakdowns. And you'll see that it doesn't hold. So, Matt, what's your point? Seriously.
Yeah, the fact is it was coincidence. TNA's ratings jump up and down all the time. Never more than, you know, 0.2 at a time.
Yeah. Absolutely true. We got bad news for you, Pat Hardy. Whatever ratings change seen in TNA... most likely has really very little to fucking do with you, dude. Seriously. Especially when you haven't been on TV all that much and the ratings jump up. What does that say? Matt Hardy's in TNA, but he's not on TV? Sure, I'll watch. Click. What? I mean, seriously.
I'm surprised he didn't try and take the fucking Green Bay Packers win off him. Matt Hardy did it. He was there in secret running the ball and getting touchdowns when people weren't looking.
No, he was giving the Green Bay Packers a bunch of greats at halftime. So they won. And so now we get to take credit for it, right? So there you go. Last thing before we break, guys, the other they is revealed. What are your thoughts on this one, Mace?
Surprisingly enough, after, like, really thinking about it, it makes sense. I hate to admit it, but having they being basically Fortune, oh my god, spoilers if you haven't seen it or whatever, none of you watch fucking TNA anyway.
A little too late for it, so don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of, it makes sense because since the whole, you know, Immortal group got together, I'm sitting there thinking, this isn't right. You know, Fortune was the group that was in there before Immortal, and yeah, since Immortal's been around, besides AJ Styles, the rest of Fortune got pushed into the background.
Mm-hmm.
Which again goes back to the old argument that everybody seems to have about TNA, is that they push the old guys over the homemade TNA stars.
Yeah.
And by having Fortune leave Immortal and team with Angle and all that, they get a chance to sort of step closer to the spotlight than they did when they were with Eric Bischoff's little group.
Yeah. What do you think, Omega?
It does make sense on multiple levels. I mean, it does kind of scream of, well, this was a last-minute fix, both to deal with Ric Flair and the fact that half of our original plan might be in WWE now.
Yeah, but reportedly, the plan all along was at some point to turn Fortune against Immortal. So
it does make sense because it really didn't make sense to me. It's like, okay, we have Fortune, who is the big heel faction, but wait a minute, now Bischoff and Hogan have a big heel faction, and, you know, you expect gang warfare, and you get an alliance that just brings us this huge NWO-sized heel roster.
And it winds up being the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
No, it ends up being an infiltration, is what it means. You know, hiding amongst your enemy.
Uh huh.
You know the fact that, see, I'm a big fan of it because you turn guys face that have not been faced in a long time, like Beer Money.
Well,
you give them a chance to do something different.
Yeah. Well, take a look at it here for a second. Now, I brought something up, and both of you, I want to hear from both of you. Is this wind up a case of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or is this a case of keep your friends close, put your enemies closer?
I want to say friends close, enemies closer. But that might just be me being a little bit hopeful because I think AJ Styles makes a far better face than a heel. I've never been able to convincingly see him as a heel.
Uh-huh.
So I really do want this to turn into a good face run for all these guys. You know, they need something different now. Especially with a big heel faction in TNA like Immortal, you do need an opposing force.
Yeah, well, I definitely can't disagree with you on that one. What do you think, Mace?
I'm in support of this whole move. You know, that gives characters the chance to be faces, as Omega said. Plus, it sort of brings to a close, or brings to a crescendo, the whole Eric Bischoff AJ Styles semi storyline they've done, where it's always been Bischoff forcing himself on AJ, going, you know, you need to be better than this, you need to do better, you need to do something that's going to grab attention. Well, now that he's done that, Eric Bischoff now has to eat his words.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as long as it gets rid of the whole Immortal faction, I'm all for it. Because I'd rather see Fortune being the big heel group than Immortal.
Okay.
I was enjoying that when it started.
Well, here's a question. We have in the past discussed the dearth of actual stables in professional wrestling. Factions and stables, not exactly the same thing. What are you more in favor of, and what's the negative for each of them, Mace?
Well, I'd say more of a stable guy. You know, you have a small group of people banding together under a common cause. Whereas a faction, it becomes so convoluted and so overchoked with people that you're always having trouble within a faction, whereas a stable, everybody seems to be treated more equally.
Yeah. Omega?
I pretty much agree with that. I mean, the whole appeal to a stable is it is a small group. They're all, you know, it is a group that supports, it is a group that's very supportive to each other. And, you know, you can have normal things going on around them without it seeming too overwhelming. You know, these guys can be in a tag match against a normal tag team, and, you know, it's not every match you expect, you know, the rest of the group to come out and lay waste to the tag team that they're facing. Whereas mm-hmm. you have a big faction, a lot of people with a lot of talent tend to get lost really fast in a big faction. And when they're just, you know, okay, we all just agree to wear this shirt and come out to this music all at once. So, you know, that pretty much becomes the role of half the people in the group. And they kind of get lost in that. There's no way for them to build up and build themselves out when you're just, you know, one among ten.
Mm-hmm. So a stable would be a much more welcome thing at this point in time if TNA decided to break things up even further, wouldn't you say?
Pretty much. I like the fact that they go into this direction, because the strange thing is when you've got a group like Immortal, which is just bringing in name after name after name after name, and you have this huge group, a united faction, especially one like Fortune, who have been guys who started in TNA, really knew, you know, they represent the young generation that guys like Immortal are eclipsing right now.
Yeah.
You know, they represent, you know, the soul of TNA, and they actually seem just as strong as Immortal does in my eye right now, just because they have that uniting, you know, spirit to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Immortal is just people ganging up together.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, on that note, I think it's time for our second time out of the evening. We'll come back, talk a little bit about The Rock and Y2J Chris Jericho. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Money, cash, hoes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes, then you're dead for soul. You celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, what critic? You can kick my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio. If I don't play they show, they don't play my hit. Well, I don't give a shit. So, rap mask on, you is my black ass. So advertise to give them more cash for ads. Fuck it. I don't know what...
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is Bob the Farm Age, telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I spent more of the space and time again. God damn, casting magic missile.
Wild Talk Radio. Always imitated. No, that's about it. Always imitated.
Internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, yeah. All this and more can be found on one site. The Eurostat, whenever they wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage, Brett Derry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that calls you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Park. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you thought to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
I know I'm supposed to talk here, but I like this song. Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Hey, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about The Rock and Chris Jericho really quickly. Anybody here follow him on Facebook? Have him on his on their Facebook? Omega, you must.
Facebook. Me.
Oh yeah. Omega and Facebook is Alan Wojcik and Twitter.
Essentially, except I know exactly what the hell Facebook is. I just refuse to be part of it.
Yeah, there you go. What about you, Mace? You follow The Rock on Facebook?
You mean Sir Rockin'? Yeah, I follow him.
No. Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, that tosspot. No.
Yeah. if you smell what the crack is cooking. So, The Rock basically spoke out the other day on his Facebook page about his future in professional wrestling, confirming basically recent talks with Vince McMahon about doing something on Raw, but never going to wrestle again.
Didn't he have recent talks with Vince like a year or two ago?
Well, you know, back in what, May and June, we were talking about this. You know, The Rock, or we might see him in August. Never came about, right? So apparently, the talks are on in perpetuity.
I mean, well, we first heard about it when they were doing the guest host thing. You know, he was one of the first ones that people were talking about. He was the one who addressed it first, and nothing ever happened.
No, nothing happened, and we did get to see The Rock when they were doing their anniversary show for Raw via pre-taped quote unquote satellite feed.
Of course he's going to do something with WWE. He's got a new movie to promote.
Yeah, well, you know, he's going to have a new movie every 2 years to promote. So who knows, every 2 years we might find out he's in talks to do something with WWE. Gee, that doesn't sound familiar, does it, Mace?
Oh, it doesn't sound like the same song and dance he's been giving us ever since he left the fucking company. And to go on what he's actually said on Facebook, yes, I read it during the break.
Yeah.
That was basically his nice way of saying, hey, all you fuckheads, I'm not coming back to the company. Please stop asking me about it. Please fuck off and die. I no longer need wrestling.
That was basically, the PC Polite version that he posted on his Facebook. He went on for a while, listing his goals, what he achieved by the time he was 30, yada, 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 setting his sights on something bigger. And so does it really matter whether or not we see Dwayne Johnson on WWE TV ever again?
I could care less.
We haven't needed him to this point. I'm happy with memories.
Okay. Yeah, you stop and think about it. As years go by, any pop that he gets will wind up diminishing, don't you think?
People forget who he is.
Yeah, if and when he finally shows up.
I think that's always
Go on, Mega.
Mate first. Go ahead, Mate.
No, I'm scared of Omega. I let him talk first.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Omega.
I think that's one reason why Steve Austin actually keeps in touch so much with the WWE. Every 6 months we'll find out he's making an appearance or he's got something to promote or he'll be on Tough Enough, So it actually does kind of, it gives me a feeling that he actually knows where he came from and why he's popular. And even though he's not as big as a star as Rock, he does know to keep in touch with his past, which gives me a lot more respect for the guy than I do have for the Rock.
Yeah, but couldn't you possibly say that he keeps as much in touch with WWE and the fans, specifically because his post-WWE career has been somewhat less successful than Dwayne Johnson's?
He's Stone Cold Steve Austin. The dude's sitting on millions upon millions of dollars. He doesn't have to work another day in his life if he didn't want to.
Yeah. Okay, that's...
Austin's always had a lot more respect for the wrestling business. Yeah, I know the Rock's third generation and all that bullshit. But basically, when he accomplished his goals, he basically said, fuck you, I'm an actor now. And has stood by that ever since in every interview he's done. But that being said, if the Rock was ever to come back, the only reason he should ever set foot back in the company is to shut up Michael Cole, because he used to do it so well in the past.
That would be good, I have to admit. Yeah. It would be nice to see Rock come back just to put him in his place. So, there's the latest from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Chris Jericho, like I said at the top of the show, says the new WWE deal is 90% done. Brian Fritz from fanhouse.com interviewed Jericho regarding his possible return to WWE. It's been since September since Jericho's contract ran out and was kicked in the head by Orton, effectively writing him out of storylines and off of WWE TV. Didn't sign a new deal, decided to concentrate on music, embarking on a worldwide tour with Fozzy. But this time, his time away from the ring might come to an end sooner than last time. When he took off last time, he was kind of sick of the business. Now he just felt like he needed a little break and wanted to do some rock and roll in Omega.
I think it shows how well the tour's going when he's already talking about coming back to the WWE.
I didn't even know there was a Fozzy tour, Mace.
I knew there was a Fozzy tour that actually came down here. Did I go? No. Couldn't be bothered. Basically, Jericho is doing what we all were saying that The Rock was going to do. Walk away, and when things that he was doing outside of wrestling don't work out, he comes back to wrestling going, please, please, Mr. McMahon, please hire me back. The stuff I'm doing away from the company sucks.
Well, Spud, don't you think that it's all fine and dandy? He's got his, he's got his hobby away from wrestling, which is, being a very bad rock and roll singer for a band that actually does know how to play musical instruments. But there's no...
He plays for the Lucha Girls?
There you go. There's no real negativity or animosity or anything like that between him and the WWE. There's no stumbling block with him coming back whenever he wants, and the fans are going to accept him a little bit maybe more readily than if he was, well, a certain somebody else, don't you think?
I really don't think that Jericho's that bad of a singer, and I think this is, I think you're trying to compare apples and oranges, you know, to quote somebody from earlier. Simply.
That was grapefruit, but okay.
Simply because, Jericho has never made any insinuation that he was anything more than a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, I, as far as I know, all wrestlers have their little side projects. Everybody does. But
yeah.
Jericho has never insinuated that he was more than a wrestler, or he was, you know, that he was anything more than that. So I guess it really doesn't matter, you know, because he's always been a wrestler, always will be, and so therefore he doesn't have anything, you know, to deal with when he comes back.
But at the same time, though, when he did leave, the last time he left, every interview was, I don't think I'll be coming back at any point. You know, I want to put Fozzy as being my main, you know, project. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life, is Fozzy. Now all of a sudden he's turning around and going, well, there's a 90% done deal sitting there, and we just got to finish up these last few little bits, and it'll be signed, sealed, and delivered. Okay, hypocritical much?
I disagree.
Okay. Hypocritical, maybe backpedaling, but I would call him a hypocrite over it.
It's not hypocritical. Hypocritical is The Rock. The Rock is hypocritical if you want to get right down to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, WWE needs love for me. I love my fans, but I'm never coming to see him again.
The Rock is hypocritical when it comes right down to it. When you're talking about, you know, the way that wrestling fans are with Jericho, it's because Jericho's never bullshitted the fans. He's always been straight up, hey, I'm leaving for a while. Why? Because I don't want to do this anymore. So I'll be back when I'm damn good and ready.
Mm-hmm.
She's so, definitely a lot more respectful.
Yeah. So it seems like he's almost damn good and ready. Just 10% more contract finalizing to go through, I guess.
10% more zeros added on the end of the paycheck.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I want this much for sure. Not that much. And so anyway, yeah, chat about Jericho and The Rock. Over. Why don't we move on to something we can call this WTR Roundtable? Here's the poser, guys. Over the next 5 years, who will have the bigger impact in all aspects of the wrestling business? From we're talking financially, marketing, in-ring, globally, all of that stuff. Is it going to be The Miz, or will it be Alberto Del Rio?
It's going to be The Miz, hands down. I reckon after WrestleMania, we're not really going to see much out of Del Rio. And plus, what would you rather have? Somebody who can actually speak English or somebody who speaks labored English? Big thing about being your marketability, being in commercials and stuff like that is addressing the audience, communicating with the people. Half the time, people don't really give a flying fuck what Alberto Del Rio has to say if they can understand it. Whereas The Miz, he's always very straightforward, very straight to the point, and straight to I'm awesome, which you could make a billion and one t-shirts out of.
He
just seems like the guy you want to put your money behind.
Okay, so we're looking at Miz being the guy to carry it, Omega.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agreeing on this one. I make no secret about my dislike of Del Rio. Because I feel like he has earned nothing that he has been getting so far compared to a lot of people in the company right now. He just feels very forced right now. It's like, okay, this isn't what this is. He's getting things he's just not meant for, not ready for. You know, it just seems like a placeholder, and the one you don't want to do something like that
at WrestleMania of all places. I mean, we're talking about a guy that no one, it's not the kind of heel like The Miz is. The Miz is entertaining. Bottom line, he has an appeal to him, even though he's a villain, even though he's a bad guy. You still love to see him work because you can tell he's loving what he's doing. He's really good at it. And he's just fun to watch to see what's going to happen next. People can't stand Del Rio. He's the kind of heel that gets on your nerves because he's just so obnoxious and snooty and high and mighty. And you're going to hit an enormous stumbling block after Mania when you realize that that is the worst kind of heel going into Mania. I mean, if you're gonna book a heel in Mania, it's gotta be someone like The Miz, where you want to see who can take the championship off of. That's a heel like Del Rio has to have the belt going into Mania for it to feel like a Mania match, because you're gonna pay to see someone beat the living shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Rio, with this personality chasing the belt, it's not going to sell jack shit. And as soon as Mania's over, he's going to be done. He's going to be back to the mid-card struggling to get anywhere, because that's all he is. He's one trick, and as soon as the trick's done, he's out.
Interesting. Spug.
First of all, I disagree about Del Rio, because Mace was the same way. Or not Mace, Miz.
Yeah, that time Mace got a title shot at WrestleMania after 5 months?
Miz was the same way, when he was a very obnoxious, kind of had no point, and the wrong kind of heel heat to him, because he was coming from the real world. Everybody thought, he's a reality guy. He's a TV guy. Why the hell is he here? He's not a wrestler. And he's put in a lot of hard work. And remember, they took him out of the ring for a while and put him in the crowd because they didn't know what the hell to do with him. They made him a commentator in the crowd on SmackDown for a while because they didn't know what the hell to do with him. And so I think even though, he hasn't really earned it, so to speak, as far as time in the WWE, and there are probably guys who are better suited to be there, I think in the long run, both Miz and Del Rio will end up drawing considerably for that company. Because I think Alberto Del Rio has the drive and the ability to get himself over the way he needs to, and end up getting the proper kind of heat, and be the proper kind of heel.
Well, that's definitely an interesting position to take, and once again, you stand apart from everybody else with your thoughts on this one, which is not to say it's a bad thing or anything like that, but I just see Miz as being more likely to wind up carrying the company. I don't know that I could see either one of these guys turning face. However, if one of them were to become a good guy, I would have to say that it would be Miz because of the fans. The fans support him the way you want fans to support a heel. Whereas Del Rio, I think that the majority of us would support seeing somebody kick the crap out of his Spanish ring announcer.
I'd rather see the Spanish ring announcer to keep crap out of Del Rio. I saw the guy wrestle on NXT. It was hilarious.
There you go. That might be interesting.
Can we see the Spanish ring announcer go through the Spanish announce table?
No, that's too cliche. Put him through the English announce table.
No. The English announce table never gets hurt. Ever.
Well, there you go. There's your twist, right? You keep getting all these English-speaking wrestlers getting put through the Spanish announce table. Fuck, reverse the stereotype. Rock, you got a point?
I had one quick point that's something you guys are all missing. So the point is, WWE's pay-per-view buys domestically are going down. Alberto Del Rio, he's huge in the markets internationally. He's going to help carry them in the next 5 years.
In Mexico.
In Mexico.
And you know, it's not the same. By internationally, you mean Mexico, the same place Rey Mysterio has been their biggest draw for the last 10 plus years.
And that's why they have to replace Rey Mysterio.
Because Rey Mysterio breaks down like an old Buick.
Exactly.
Again, I'd rather watch the ring announcer than Alberto Del Rio.
You see, this doesn't really have any effect upon us because, well, we're not in Mexico. We don't give a damn. And here's the thing. If they're going to focus on the international market, they're going to need to find somebody that has global appeal, not just appeal in Mexico or in Spain or in India, or you get the idea. It has to be global appeal. And if you can take
you get the idea, where's that located?
What's that? Isn't that just
you get the idea? Where's that located? Is that near Death Valley, over by Parts Unknown?
No, I think
it's in Dudleyville,
southwest of New Zealand.
That would be Australia, you retard.
You get the idea. Anyway. But if you could take Alberto Del Rio and The Miz and switch them somehow, so The Miz is the Spanish Miz, wouldn't that wind up being a smarter idea than trying to push somebody that only one country's gonna
Miz El Amazingo?
You know, I'm just throwing that out there.
The Spanish Miz would be hilarious.
Spanish Miz. Well, there's Mystico's new gimmick, guys.
See, the hard part about finding someone's global appeal is it's next to impossible. They got lucky when they found The Rock, who did that. Mm-hmm. They got damn lucky with it.
Yeah.
And to find someone like that again, it all has to be trial and error. I just don't think WrestleMania is the time to make one of those trials. You stick people in Mania that you know are going to draw. And Del Rio might draw internationally,
but he's
sure as hell not drawing domestically.
Okay, well, here's something to think about. Don't give me any flack for bringing this up, because it's what WWE did. They took a wrestler and made him a heel in the United States and a face everywhere else in the world, and it paid massive dividends.
You just had to talk about Bret Hart again, didn't you?
He had to get a shameless mention in once a show.
You notice I didn't mention the name, right? But now that you guys have, thank you very much. I'm not the one who came up with that idea. I'm not the one who implemented it. It was Vince and, well, Bret. Both came up with the idea. Why don't we try to make me a good guy everywhere else in the world, but a bad guy in the United States? It worked. Why can't they try something like that again?
Well, do we make a wrestler who's anti-American and pro-everywhere else?
Yes.
But
it
at
worked.
The same time, you've got to remember, Tim, that when they did that with Bret Hart, it was during the era when the internet wasn't as pronounced as it is today. To try and put somebody over as a heel in America and then put him over as a face everywhere else isn't going to work, because a lot of people are more tuned into the product, more tuned into what type of strategy is going down. Yeah, you know, it wouldn't work in this day and age.
Well,
word get out of what's going on.
I don't know. That's where you actually use the internet to your advantage, because of, you know, all the social media and everything going on. You get, I don't know who, you know, he's got his own Facebook account and he's posting anti-American and pro everywhere else. That could be a contributing factor to it. The internet could help that if it was done properly.
But still, you get the people turning around and going, well, why is he being a heel in the U.S. and being a face everywhere else? It doesn't make sense.
So you're going to make him sound like every other foreign individual in the United States right now who bashes American foreign policy.
And you got, well, what happened last time they had somebody bashing America on a constant basis? Anybody remember Muhammad Hassan?
Right now, the political...
I got to interrupt for a quick sec with that. Muhammad Hassan was that's a little bit different. They took an Arab American and they tried that with, and I think we were all in agreement that it shouldn't have been an Arab American. It wasn't just, you know, okay, sure, the wrestler is an Italian, don't worry about that, but I'm talking, you know, in character. That would have been the wrong, at the time especially, the wrong group to pick.
You all are missing the point of that gimmick, too.
No, the appeal to that gimmick is the fact that they let the fans decide how they wanted to go with it, heel or face, and it played to a stereotype when the fans started booing it. The problem, the only misstep they made with him was they played too much to the stereotype with black hooded guys coming in, you know, basically essentially pulling a terrorist angle with him. And it went from cultural divide to sheer racism.
All right. When they did the terrorist angle, they went too far. Okay. But when you listen to the initial promos of Muhammad Hassan, that gimmick was entirely pro-American. Listen to his initial promos and vignettes. He loved, the whole gimmick was he loved being an American. He loved being an American. He thought it was a great country. He pointed out the hypocrisies of Americans.
See, that's the weird thing about wrestling fans is they when you tell them the truth about their ugly side, they turn on you immediately. That's why Jericho was such a heel for the last year, because that's what he was doing all the time.
Right.
Another example, Team Canada. How much were they cheered in the United States, even though they were portraying a somewhat anti-American gimmick? So, I mean, going down that path with a guy like Del Rio or anybody else isn't really going to work in this day and age, because wrestling fans will find something to latch onto.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there is a potential way of doing it right, but it's a very fine line. And, pointing out going too far with Muhammad Hassan is a perfect example. Go ahead, Spud.
You can't. In today's day and age, you can't do it. And part of it has to do with the internet. The other part has to do with the fact that America's foreign policy and the way that this presidential regime has handled everything, they've done so in such a fashion that, you know, trying to pull that we're hated everywhere else, or we're hated in the United States, but we're loved everywhere else, isn't going to work. Because quite frankly, right now, Americans are pretty much hated everywhere.
We're getting over 8 years of a policy of fuck every other country.
Yeah, we have to rebuild. We have to kind of rebuild our
credibility, our appeal.
At the same time, just to sort of gauge what it's like over there. If somebody was to come out now and be anti-American, you know, oh, screw the government, blah blah blah. How many Americans would jump on that guy and be a fan of that guy at this point in time?
Things
becoming back in the vogue to hate the government, to hate what's going on in your own country.
It's
the chic thing to do right now is to protest and hate the government, and not to turn the show political, but you see what's going on in Egypt.
Yeah,
this is a regime that's been in place for 30 some odd years and helped gotten rid of terrorist after terrorist out of that country, and now you know they organized on Facebook and want Mubarak out. That's kind of becoming the chic thing to do in the United States, is to protest and to be anti-government. So if an anti-American angle came out, you could consider that a face gimmick, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and it's another reason why such a gimmick or such an idea wouldn't work with the guys like in today's day and age. So basically, what would it be? What would you do with Del Rio to sort of turn him into that guy who can carry the company?
I think, personally, for me, one of the things that you have to do is to allow Del Rio to be himself. Quit making him into the Mexican JBL.
One of the reasons he's coming off so unlikable right now is because he is so high and mighty about his fortunes, his good graces, and that just really doesn't appeal to most of the WWE's current fans. I mean, they're middle class, blue collar. This is someone who's flaunting how much better in life he's being, which is not exactly what they want. You know, they get behind people like Stone Cold because, you know, that's someone who comes from where they are from. They cheer for the everyman.
JBL did it a couple of years ago. It was fine. Everybody jumped on JBL and booed the crap out of him, and we consider him at the time one of the better heels of the time. Del Rio does it. That's like, eh. So what's the missing X factor here?
Because JBL was an American citizen.
Well, I wouldn't say so much as that. JBL actually did have a factor of appeal to him. He had enough charisma to actually pull that off and actually convince you not only convince you as a wealthy man, he was a wealthy man. He still is. But when Del Rio does it, it just comes off as fake because he really isn't, compared to someone like a JBL. So it just comes off as just really phony. It's not believable that he has this much wealth.
Well, and no, part of it is the fact that Del Rio is Mexican. Because I hate to say it, Omega, but you live in Florida, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have tons of illegal immigrants coming into the United States through Florida, through Texas, southern areas. A lot of people are real biased against the Mexican populace, whether they're in this country legally or not, simply because of their heritage. And that's unfortunate. He could be a great heel, but there's a lot of people who won't give him the time of day because he's Mexican.
Now, if he wasn't Mexican, if he was a different nationality, would it be a different impact?
Possibly, in my opinion, yeah. If he were British or, some other descent, I think it would be an entirely different story and impact.
What do you think, Mace? Omega?
I hate to say it, but yeah, there is an anti-Hispanic movement in America. It is the same reason that Hassan was picked by the fans to become a heel, even though it was a very pro-American introduction. No matter how much you support America, you're born in America, you're born in America, you love America, you brag about America, but you don't look American, so boo. And it did come from a racist attitude. And Del Rio right now, yeah, some of that heat is coming from that too. It's just an ugly part of America right now, and you just kind of have to grit your teeth and admit to it.
Well, it's a sad thing to do in the 21st goddamn century to have to point out the fact that the majority of a nation considered to be, you know, the greatest on earth, especially by its own citizens, still has that load of prejudice floating around. Just saying.
Part of the problem, and listen to Spug make actual intelligent comments for once. Part of the issue with guys like Hassan Del Rio, it goes to a much deeper kind of subconscious ideology that 99.9% of Americans have, whether they want to admit it or not, and is that they're not from Anglo-Saxon descent. Anybody with the slightest twinge darker skin, whether you're Hispanic, you're Arab, you're Asian, you know, anybody with the slightest twinge different color skin, the majority of Americans, whether they want to admit it or not, and the reaction varies from extremely mild to extremely violent, of their distrusting and disliked.
Yeah, well, there's hypocrisy for you. Unless your name is, like, Chief Running Wind, you have no right to be complaining about anyone foreign.
No, I agree with... I'm not disagreeing with you, Omega.
I know. I'm backing that up.
I think and this has always sort of bothered me. And yeah, people will say, well, you're racist, you make racist jokes. I've said time and time again, and I have people that are on this phone call right now that'll back me up 100%. I'm not the slightest bit racist or prejudiced. I make racial humor because it makes everybody else uncomfortable and deal with their own issues. Admit it, Tim. You know I'm right.
Well, no, I'm chuckling because you're just basically saying what I say about you when you're not around, so.
What's that? That I'm a racist?
No. That what is presented by the persona everybody knows as Spug when they hear him is not what you're really all about.
No, it's not. But
and no, I'm not going to say that, Rock.
It's just... What's unfortunate is you have some of these really good gimmicks.
Yeah.
And it's like I said on OWW the other night. You know, with Booker T back, and I think I might have said it here, too, I would like to see them bring back, like, Nation of Domination.
Because
it's been a while since we've had, like, that militant black angle. And the Nation of Domination was a really good angle. Now that I'm older and can understand it, it was a great angle.
Oh, yeah. No, it makes more sense to you now. Like, it made sense to me when I first saw it. But
right.
The question is, aren't we supposed to be at the point right now where we don't need a militant black? I'm sorry for all of our African-American listeners. I'm not saying African-American. But how many of you actually have been to Africa? Seriously. Okay.
You're an American. If you're born within the borders of the 50 states, you're a fucking American. You have African descent. You are an American, goddammit. That pisses me off. I hate how we have to put the Asian, the Latino, the African, the Canadian American, the Ocean American, whatever. You're a goddamned American.
The Ocean America, that's cool. Is that somebody from Hawaii?
It's Aquaman and the Submariner. The only ones that
okay.
I hate it, man. I do.
What about the All-American American?
I just hate it. You're an American. You don't hear Egyptians saying that they're a white Egyptian.
Or they're an American Egyptian, or they're a
not a Cairo. They're not a Southern Egyptian. They're an Egyptian. I
just like it's like over here. We don't have Asian Australian. We don't have Black Australian. We have Australians and Aboriginal.
Yeah. Now let's just further.
And Kiwis.
Yeah,
that's people from New Zealand.
Yeah, and we don't talk about them, do we, Mace?
No, sheep shagging motherfuckers.
There you go.
But a couple of really hot Kiwis.
This, you know, this whole thing you're talking about, Spud, just furthers the belief that I have had my entire life that the United States far left political correct movement is got its own head so far up its own fucking ass. It's unbelievable. They've got to compartmentalize. Oh, you know, it's not that there's anything wrong with that, but he's an African-American. You know, like, what the fuck? He's a black American, okay?
It's the same thing, though, with the political correctness thing. They've tightened the reins so much that people have actually become more racist or more open to turning around and go, oh, filthy Mexican or something like that, because they're basically, and it goes back to the whole anti-government thing, that it's basically an F you to the rules. But then again, we are now so far outside of wrestling that I don't think we're going to get back on track anytime soon.
We will, but I want to finish it up by saying this. And Omega can agree and Rock can agree or disagree because they live here and they know. But America, as far as being competitive, and being on par politically with the rest of the world, is 50 years behind everybody. There are countries in the world, like a good friend of mine just got back from a week in Germany, went to the Berlin Wall, they took a little side trip over to Poland, and he went and saw Auschwitz and Dachau and all that, and took pictures for me, and I was amazed. 60 years later, the horrors of that place still show through on film, you know, on a photograph. But America has its own head so far up its ass with its air of superiority that it is absolutely sickening. Because, like I was saying, my buddy just got back from Germany. What we consider XXX porn here is a daytime soap opera to them. They don't care. They don't care. Sex is not taboo. You know? It's not a taboo subject over there. To a man and a man holding hands and kissing openly in a restaurant outside, not a big deal. People protested here. Why? Because they're fucking retarded.
I got one question. Omega, can I ask him this one?
Sure.
Okay, but how do you have the ability to turn any and every conversation into a talk about porn?
Not sure. I wasn't even trying.
Okay, I've got one word for you. Plural. Midgets.
They're great. I would love to fuck one. Everybody should own a midget. Everybody.
I'm just thinking about the oral sex aspect.
You couldn't
tell her to get on her knees now, could you?
She'd never hurt her knees.
There you go. Okay. I think we've basically discussed this to death. It's time to move on to the final shot of the night, guys. Why don't we do some quick hits and get the hell out of here?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestlePod Radio quick hits.
All right, here it is. WrestlePod Radio is WCRS for tonight, presenting quick hits. Sponsored by Canadian All Pro Wrestling, www.canadianallprowrestling.co.cc.
Shameless.
Thank you.
Pointless.
Omega, you get the first question tonight, okay? Here we go. In the tradition of Edge and Christian, describe your personal 5-second pose?
My personal 5-second pose? God, in the spirit of Edge and Christian, it would have to be something incredibly, incredibly cliche and corny, or else it's just not a proper 5-second pose.
So basically, you holding a transformer.
it'd probably be something akin to like a pose a Power Ranger would take, just this really faux, you know, martial arts pose.
I just got an image of what's his name, Optimus Prime from the Transformers movie at the end of it.
Hands on hips, staring into the sun.
Yep. Okay, Spug.
Yes.
We just saw a great Super Bowl 45. You're really ecstatic at the outcome. A lot of people are, including Mr. Anderson. Tell us right now, who's going to win Super Bowl 46?
Oh, my God. You have to do this to me?
Yep.
Remember what he said at the start of the show? If he gets on football, we're going to be here all night.
Fuck me. God damn it. I don't even know if there's going to be football next year. They haven't sorted out the collective bargaining agreement, but barring all of that, if the season starts on time, I really think the Philadelphia Eagles have a good shot at making it there next year.
I can't hate that pick, really. I can't. And anybody who knows anything about the NFL, I think, would agree with what Spug just said and what I just did there. All right. Mace, who's the smartest person in wrestling today?
Smartest person in wrestling today? Well, I'm still going to say it. Raven, he's still in wrestling, so fuck you. I'm sorry, the dude could still write angles that would make people's heads spin. It's just that he doesn't like sitting there and playing the goddamn politics in order to get into the position. Barring that, we got to go with Vince McMahon. Dude's still going strong at 850 years old.
I guess you could basically compartmentalize that question and look at two different ends of it. But yeah, we'll take your answer. Omega, back to you. What is your favorite Saturday Night Live spinoff movie?
Haven't been many good ones. Hang on.
Never said it had to be good.
Yeah, just my favorite one. I don't know, because I know, like, Comedy Central has tried running, Love Guru and Superstar, and I maybe tuned in for, like, 5 minutes of each movie before I wanted to put a bolt in my head.
Didn't ask you the worst.
I'd have to go with Wayne's World.
There you go. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Damn right. It better have come down to Wayne's World or Blues Brothers, or else you were going to get shot.
I think those are the only two that you can really pick. I mean, if you had a one of those guilty pleasure picks that you had to pick, that's, you know, not a great movie, but you still watch it, would be A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, even if I'm going to think guilty pleasure, I'd still pick Coneheads.
That's another good one. God, I haven't seen that in years.
Okay, I can go with that one, too. I definitely can go with that one, too. All right. Spug!
Yes?
I'm going to skip you for the moment so I can give you the last question just because of what it is.
Okay. I'm slightly afraid now, but all right.
There you go. So we're going to skip you and go straight to Mace. It was announced that MTV is bringing back Beavis and Butthead.
Really?
Are you more of a Beavis or a Butthead, Mace?
Depending on my frame of mind, I'm a bit of both. Sometimes I'm just sitting there going, other times I'm like, just go ape shit. If I get really hyped up, I do Cornholio.
You kidding me, Paul? I'm Cornholio. Cornholio.
You said shit.
All right, so 50% of one and 6 dozen of the other. Got it. All right, here we go. Bug.
All right.
I saved this one for last because I just wanted to let you know that.
Megan, mute yourself.
Muting.
It was Rock who thought this question up.
Can I explain it
more? Fuck you, Rock. No. No explaining. Just ask the question, and I'm going to... Go ahead.
You have no idea. Fuck.
I don't care. If you have to sit there and start backpedaling, go, just let me explain.
No.
Probably going to piss me off.
No. I'm just giving you a setup. It was a topic discussed last night on CB Radio.
All right.
Now ask the question, Tim.
Okay, here it goes. Last night on CB Radio, this topic was not just brought up, not just mentioned, but discussed. So, Spud, if you were a talking dildo, what would you say?
What kind of question is that? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
At least you don't have to think about what fruit you would be.
Just asking Megan, he spent like a while trying to think of what he would say as a dildo last night.
I spent an hour making jokes about this damn thing.
What the fuck?
This isn't a hypothetical. Last night, Keeks found a dildo that you could record up to 3 minutes of audio onto.
It's dark in here. What happened? I can't breathe.
You know.
Oh, it's Matt Hardy's career.
Hey, this wasn't Lita.
What the fuck? That is the most retarded and ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That's the whole point of Quick Hits, dude.
The scary thing is she found more than one.
You can't come up with a better question than that?
Well, you are the porn king of this network. We figured if anybody would have an answer for this, it'd be you.
Porn king, not sex toy king. That's so, Alan Wojcik.
Oh, shit. Snatched is awesome.
So, Spud, if you could record anything on a dildo, what would you record?
Not a goddamn thing! Because with my woman, she wouldn't need the fucking dildo. Because I'm all the man she needs.
That's not what you said last week.
So there you go.
Okay, so make it a joke. Your wife has a talking dildo, and you can record things on it. Just, I don't know why she would have it. She just does. You feel like you're in a playful mood, and you just want to, like, be a smartass. You grab her dildo and record something, what would you do? Just to break the mood or something?
I would do something extremely horrible and mean. I would.
That's what you want to know, what you would do. What would you say?
I would do something so horrible.
Tell us.
Oh, God. Oh, I would. It would be so horrible and mean. I would probably record something like, damn, bitch, go shower. Looks like green cottage cheese in here. or something to the effect of, you sticking me in there? You better pull back them beef curtains first. Let some daylight in.
Now, was that so hard?
Yes. Because you did it in the right context. You have to put it in the right context.
It's a good thing I can think on my feet, man.
Just asking, if you had a talking dildo, what would you record on it? What? I'm a guy! What am I? A straight guy, for that matter. What the fuck do I need a talking dildo for?
Well, nobody ever said that you needed a talking dildo or that you would have a talking dildo. The question was, if you were a talking dildo.
If I'm a talking dildo, how am I going to record things on myself? I'm battery operated with a playback button.
Okay, the last thing we need is try to get into semantics of this. There you go. Okay, Spud would be really, really mean to make his wife use it.
We started the show with overanalyzing. We ended with overanalyzing.
The better thing would be is if it had, like, a remote on it.
Uh-huh.
Uber could record things. And then when it was, like, sitting in the drawer or some shit, you'd just, like, sit in a corner room and hit play and scare the shit out of people with it. Like, people are talking to it. Hey, let me out! Yeah! That'd be great.
I'm trapped! It's dark in here!
I'm gonna puke.
Let me in. I'm cold.
I'm gonna puke.
Someone
maybe
give me a new battery.
All that vanilla ice cream. It's coming back up.
I was just used on Lita. Run!
Oh. You're much tighter than Lita. Wow. Fuck, we're having too much fun. I think we better end this now
this
before we
turn into CB Radio Mark II.
Yeah. And if it goes even further than that, then we're going to have to call Cindy Sin. Everybody, I want to thank you very much for tuning into the Super Bowl edition of Rush Talk Radio WKRS Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget OWW Radio with your host, Alan Mojic. We'll be Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. He's got guests. Tune in. Wednesday, you guys do the Geek Speak thing with Otaku Talk Live.
Yes, we do. And we might even have a few extra topics, seeing as there was a whole heap of comic book-related movie trailers hitting, well, the internet and the worldwide Super Bowl viewing audience today.
Awesome.
I marked out so hard for the Captain America trailer.
I missed it. I gotta go watch it now.
It was really good.
It was damn good. Yeah. And I have to admit, I'm looking forward to the movie. I can't wait now just because of that trailer. Thursday night, pay attention to the website. One of these days, Cindy Sen will return. Of course, she has to get settled in her new place in Brandon, Manitoba. She moved. You guys don't know where Brandon, Manitoba is, unless you're Canadian. Friday night, you know, there has never been a real show on Friday nights. One of these days, there might be.
So why start now?
Yeah, why start now? I don't know.
Well, there might be something about 9 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah. Can I tell him what you did last week, Spud?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Spud got on, and he DJed. That's right. Yeah, if you like metal, if you like thrash, if you like banging your head, join this Spud guy. He might play music Friday night, right?
Quite possibly.
That would be kind of cool.
9 p.m. Eastern. Just be there.
Just be there,
You could get in the pit.
The mosh pit. You know, that's really hard to say the first four letters of that word.
Mosh?
Oh! How do you spell moron? Anyway, never mind.
M-O-S-H.
Exactly.
Thanks, I was waiting for that. Okay, Saturday. Are we doing any tap-outs to knockouts, guys?
There's no event this week.
And even if there was, we haven't done a show, so it doesn't matter. TV Radio, Midnight-ish. Tune in. Have fun.
Fuck you, Rock. The last three times that there's been an event, I've had to go out plow.
It's not his fault that it snows in Ohio. Well, it might be, but he won't admit to it.
For real? You think I wanted to miss the Silva awesome-ass kick to Vitor Belfort's head?
Tell me you at least saw it on
the console. Awesome.
No, I haven't seen the event yet. I have it sitting here on my computer from UFC that I downloaded from them earlier today. Legally, I might add. I haven't watched it yet.
He got kicked the fuck out.
I got an update on my phone. I got to read all the results. I haven't seen any of it yet.
Then get off of here and go watch it, seriously. Don't forget, everybody, next Sunday, Life is Callous with Johnny Cashmere returns. Will we be live or will it be Memphrex? Well, you'll just have to find out. And of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, have yourselves a fantastic week. Catch you next Sunday.